plate a potential nugget.
Transitioning from an executive role to a non-exec. And once again, that's an inflection point which a lot of people, again, I do believe what got you here won't get you there applies. So give us an insight into the transition that leaders need to go through from being an effective leader to being an effective non-executive board member.
I think the most important thing to realize is it's no longer about you. Okay? If you're a non-executive chair or whatever, it's now about the CEO. Okay, you're not the most important person in the room or the world. The spotlight is appropriately and needs to be on the executive leader, the CEO or whoever. And your role is actually to do everything within your power to help that person be more successful. Okay, so you have to make that shift. And it's not easy. Because for so long, it's been about you. And very authoritarian leaders who may have been very successful find it hard to make the shift. Okay? You need to have a modest ego, at least be willing to put your ego aside for those moments. Having decided that it's about somebody else's success, you're going to have to think through how you develop that working relationship. It's different if you're the chair and you're working with the CEO.
Yeah.
And it's different if you're simply a board member, non-executive director working with the CEO. The ways in which you influence are completely different. Okay. But as a chair, I think what you need to do is be have the capacity to demonstrate tough love, okay, which is you have to make it abundantly clear that, and the CEO has to sense that you truly are committed to their success, but you're not unafraid to, you know, hold the mirror up from time to time if that's what's needed, okay, and hopefully eventually you get into a trust-based relationship and a, you know, true pilot co-pilot, but being aware that you're the co-pilot.
Fair. And specifically, a few things that need to be unlearned. Where do you see the failure modes?
Ego. It's very, very hard, actually. Because CEO is very focused on getting things done. I don't care who the CEO is. That's their job, and if they're good, they're very, very focused on getting things done. And sometimes you have a desire to be, you hope, wish that that CEO was more inclusive, truly saw this as a partnership. They're just too busy getting things done. And you can't feel bad about these things. You have to figure out the ways in which you're going to engage with him and the organization in a predictable way. There's a very fine boundary, and you've got to make sure you walk the edge of that boundary line without transgressing it and becoming executive and giving directions and becoming very random. The worst thing for an organization if there are multiple cooks in the kitchen or multiple points of power centers. And you've got to be careful to not create that dynamic. So you have to work through the CEO, yet you have to engage with the organization in a broader sense to make sure you understand, have a sense, finger on the pulse and sense of what's going on. And so it's a very, very fine balance. I'm learning.
And is there a difference to the way you process the opportunities that come your way? For example, one is sort of looking at opportunities to be an executive leader as you're going through your career. But once you transition from that phase to evaluating board opportunities, in your mind, what are the 3-4 questions people should ask
before they take up
up a board position?
I think the single biggest thing you have to look at is the value system of the organization and the people at the top. Okay, if it's particularly if it's a promoter based driven company, then you know, are you comfortable with the value system? Because at the end of the day, you have a fiduciary responsibility. You are legally liable And so you want to make sure that you're happy with that. The second thing you have to ask yourself is, why do they want me? Am I just, you know, ticking the box in some aspect of diversity?
Yeah.
Or are they genuinely interested and open and welcoming of the experience and perspectives I'll be bringing?
Right.
Because it's very frustrating if you're just a tick box and they really don't want you, and you figure it out after the fact. Can be quite, you have to ask yourself, do I really like the CEO and the chair? Because they are the two most powerful figures in the boardroom. Okay. And a lot of the dynamic is shaped by these two individuals. So you've got to feel comfortable with the chemistry with these two people. Because otherwise you'll struggle mightily, both around your emotions as well as the ability to have impact and influence of things. And finally, you've got to be thoughtful about, how am I going to add value?
Right.
Okay. And it's not always obvious. Most of the time, you add value during moments of crisis. In peacetime, things are just trucking along and there's not much to do. It's the difference between a peacetime general and a wartime general.
Right.
Or a peacetime army and a wartime army. So you have to think through sharply the ways in which you're going to make a difference.
And in your mind, we briefly spoke about competencies of a good leader. In your mind, what are the 2-3 must-haves to be a great board member? Again, what's that delta which differentiates the great board members from the average?
I think first is commitment. If you're taking this on, take it seriously. Read the material they send you. Be intensely present during the meeting and discussions rather than checking your email or reading your iPad. I see a lot of board members not 100% engaged. Because only if you're engaged can you really have insight. So
yeah,
that's just so obvious, but I mention it. The second thing is, I think the most important thing, way in which you make a difference, is by asking the right question at the right moment in the right way. The most effective board members I've seen over the years are those who are able to articulate that perfect question that was on everybody's mind, but it didn't get expressed, and this person and precipitates it, and then the whole conversation just stops, and then everybody gravitates to that. And sometimes it can result in very, very, very different decisions and so forth. But again, if you're not fully engaged, it's hard to do. A third important thing is to take on responsibilities. Attending the board meeting is just one part of it. So being active on board committees, chairing a board committee, whether it's audit or investment committee or whatever it is, I think is important, because committees is where the work happens. And that's what gives you influence in discussions. These would be a few things.
A lot of people, by default, assume that if they were a successful executive, they'd be successful as a non-executive board member. But it's not as straightforward as that. The skills required to be an effective board member are slightly different from being a successful executive. Once again, this comes back to the notion of self-awareness and architecting a feedback mechanism so that one gets feedback as a board member, especially in the early years of moving from executive to a non-executive role. Thank you for listening.